which is they're going to go into exile, but he's going to raise up a king. He's called Cyrus. You probably haven't heard of him, a lot of you children, but neither had the Jews heard of him either. And this King Cyrus was going to send the people back. And that's what he talks about in chapter 45 of Isaiah. And he keeps saying through that verse, this is going to be amazing, but I am God, and there's nobody like me. So he says very similar things to what he says in our memory verse. I am God, there's nobody like me, so don't trust in anything else. And the Jews really needed to remember that, and God's people always need to remember that God can do spectacular, amazing things because he is the God. So we don't need to trust anything else, but we need to turn to him and be saved. When God says, I am God, I wonder what they thought. I wonder what you thought. I suppose we could come up with 120 explanations of what God is like. But really, we only know if they're true if God actually tells us. We could make up an idea of what God is like. God is like a bar of soap. God is like a bar of chocolate. God is like cheese. God is like the moon. We could say all those things, but how do we know they're true? Well, maybe those are silly ones, but how would we know anything is true about God? We only know if God tells us. And we can be thankful that God doesn't just say, I am God. He says a lot about what he's like in the Bible. And we're going to think about a few words of what God's like. And I'm going to have to get the children to help me a lot with this, because I've got all these, but they're all in a bit of a muddle, really. So I've got a word like this, which is, children, do you want to shout that one out?
Creator,
thank you. Which, just in case anyone doesn't know what the word creator means, I've got on the back, made everything. Okay, now what I need is a volunteer. I think, Caroline, you said you were going to help. No, I need someone tall. You're going to volunteer to do other things in a minute. Just to make this a little bit higher, and so step back, but not too far. That's good. I think I need to be this side of the thing. There we go. I'm going to do a couple and then you'll get the idea. Right. Creator, is God like that or am I like that? God is like that. What's this one say?
Creative.
I'm creative, which means I make things, but I'm not like God, who's the creator. So if I put this one over here, and this is what God is like. So I'm going to put it right over here because I know it's going to be a bit of a squeeze to get them all on here. And I'm going to put this one all the way over here, which is creative. There we go. You get the idea. Sorry, I'm not going to do all of them myself. But there's a few that are a little bit tricky, so I thought I'd explain the words while we're here. Okay. Somebody sort of grown up, read that one out. Temporal, which is had a beginning. Now, is that me or is that God? I think that's me. I had a beginning. We'll put that one up in a minute. Right, eternal, which means no beginning or end. Thank you. Is that me or is that God?
God.
That's God. Okay, we'll put that one over there. Right, I live, I breathe, I am somewhere. In fact, we are here. We are here, aren't we? There's no one who can say I'm not here, because you're here. Okay, we are here. Right, is that me? Must be. Put that one over there. Okay, I'm out of breath now. Omnipotent. Sorry. Omnipotent. All powerful. You clever people. Me or God? God, okay. We're going to get to easy words in a minute, and you're going to have a go as well. Independent, which is, sorry Matthew, doesn't need anyone or anything.
God.
You're right, I got confused for a minute. Limited power.
God.
I'm going this way, but try again. Me, yes. Infinite power, what's that for? It's from a cartoon? Infinite power, da, da, da. It's a little catchphrase from a cartoon. I can't remember what it is. Okay. Somebody big and strong. What's that say? omniscient, which means knows everything. That's definitely God. Right, here we go. Changes a lot, that's me. Immutable, which means does not change, which is God. Now, I've got my last two, and then you're going to come and help me peg those up. Dependent is me, because we already did independent was God. Okay, knows quite a lot, that's me on a good day. And the last one of the hard words, omnipresent, which means what? Everywhere. Me or God? God. Right, here we go. Now, there's a few more left here, and what I'd like you to do is any of the children who want to, with any of the adults helping them, if you'd like to peg the words about God on that side and the words about me and all other humans on this side. So any of the children want to come up to the front and do that, that would be great. Could you put the words on the screen, Ben, the first of the two slides? So any of the children want to peg some on, and then you have to peg them on quite carefully. I've got some more ones here. If anyone wants to grab any of these and guess whether they're God or me. What do you think that one is? God or us? Yeah, us. Do you want to peg that one? Sometimes does the right things. Yeah, that's me. Sometimes. Unwise. Oh, apparently the other visiting Barney wants one as well. Holy, which means separate and pure. Do you want to peg one? Okay. Unjust doesn't always treat everyone fairly. That's us, yes. Do you know what? There's more of you, I think, than there are things. Okay. Bad, yeah. Anyone's going to die without having one? There we are. Just always treats everyone fairly. God, yes. Wise, yes. Alive. I'll give you something to compare it with. It's true of God, really, but it's right. Alive and life. Which one's God? I think we want to go that way. Or do we want to go that way? I would say God is life. He's not just alive, like he's breathing for a bit. He is life, gives life to everybody. That way. Oh, we're getting near the end. Alive is us. I've got two left. I'm really sorry if some of you didn't get a chance. Good is God, yes. Love is God. I'm sorry for any of you who missed out. It's like callers on a program, and I know lots of you called and didn't get through. I'm very sorry. We might be able to find something else for you to do in a minute. Right, where do I need to be? Just in case you couldn't see any of the words, I'm going to go and peg that one up again. You want another peg? How long would you like Caroline to stay here? All of you who are voting for half an hour, put your hands up.
Some people will go without their lunch.
We'd be all right. Maybe. Okay. Those were all the words, and we tried to put them in some sort of order. Oh, never mind. Oh, I'm out of breath, all that running backwards and forwards. The thing about God is that he's not like us. And if you think about all those things on this side, he's sometimes completely different to us, and sometimes he's a bit like us, but so much better and perfect. I suppose a better way of putting it is that God is not like us at all, but in some ways we are like him. So some of those words are like the opposite of him, because we're bad people, we do wrong things, but some things we are like God, a bit like God. He made everything, and we like making things. Whether we like making up a story, or we like building a model of a building, or a car, or something, or whether we like making a mess. We like making things. We like creating things. So we're a bit like God. But he's not like us. He's completely different and separate. So that's the first thing. And I've given us all these words because some of these words in the children's talks we're going to look at through this term. Some of the ideas of the words that describe God. And some things will be completely different to us. And some things will be, well, we're a bit like God in this. So those are some of the words. If you want to let you put that down now. And step carefully over it. You see, God is really not like us. It's only just that we're like him. Some people try and put God in a box to sort of put him in a category of things. Just a little test. Perhaps someone who wasn't able to put a peg up could put their hands up and tell me a kind of family that these animals or things are in. So here comes the first one. Whoops. There we go. Anyone know what that is? Someone at the back? What is it? It's an ant, I hope. Isn't it an ant? It's definitely an ant. And what sort of family of things is an ant in? Yes. Insects, I reckon insects. Probably somebody really clever would tell me it's not, but is it an insect? Yeah, it's nothing complicated like an arachnoid or anything. No, good. Good. Well, this one might be easier. What's that one? Someone near the back? Oh, yeah, near the front then. Crab. And what family of things is a crab in, do you think? Put your hands up because I can just hear muttering. Yes, again. A what? Crustaceans. Who's ever heard of that word? That's probably the perfect answer. Is it the perfect answer, clever people? Okay, I was going to say shellfish. Is that the wrong answer? Yes. Okay. In my little family of things, it's called a shellfish. I mean, whoever says, I'd like to go to a really posh restaurant and have crustaceans. You say, I'd like to go to a posh restaurant and have some shellfish. So he's in the family, crabs are always he, is in the family of shellfish. What is that? I think it's a lion. Now, what family is the lion in? I had to double check this one. Well, sort of cat's family, but hands up, please. Nathan, you got your hand up, which is good, yes? Yeah, sort of in cats, but he's in a bigger family as well. He is in, that's a lady actually, isn't it? She is in the family of Felidae. Felidae, the Latin word for the sort of cat family, but in a bigger family as well, kind of with us a little bit, which is what? Yes, mammals. Is there anybody else here? Mammals. So lion's in a mammal family. That's a whale. Anybody in this section here know what a whale is? What big family of things are whales in? Okay, anybody over this side? Is there anybody else here? Anyone else know what family are whales in? Mammals, okay. Definitely a mammal, not a fish. Right. That's a tomato. You know, it's one of those completely useless things you learn at school. That a tomato is a fruit. People tell you with great delight, science teachers like to catch you out and say tomatoes are fruit and so is a cucumber and everything else. What does it mean? You know, do you put tomatoes in a fruit salad? No. Do you put cucumbers in a fruit salad? No. Maybe in a punch, but not really. But anyway, tomato is in the family of fruits, apparently. But don't put them in a fruit salad. And the last one, I think, is... it's a tree. Now, some grown-up person, tell me what kind of tree that is. A weeping willow. I wouldn't have known that, but I did check. It's a weeping willow. Looks a bit like Wandsworth Pond, near where I used to walk at lunchtime. But who knows where that's from. And what family, this is the last question, what family of things is this tree in? Pardon? Ooh, what was that word? Is it deciduous? Is it evergreen? Is it? Pardon? Deciduous, is it? I don't know. Don't have a clue. Anyway, I'd call it in the family of trees or plants or something like that. But you see, we have to work things out by thinking about some characteristics, some things about them, and we kind of put them all together. And we say, well, all these things have skins and seeds, and so we'll call them a fruit. Or all these things grow out of the ground and they have this green stuff inside them, and we'll call them plants or something like that. When it comes to God, there isn't a category. God's not part of any family of things. He's in a family all of his own, a family called God. And it's nothing we can compare with something else. We can't say, well, it's a bit like this, but slightly different. When it comes to God, he just says, I am God. I am in a category all of my own. I'm completely unique. And you know what? The problem for the Israelites, the Jews, was that they were getting distracted and interested in all kinds of other things that weren't God. They were in the category of things you can see and touch. Or maybe they worshipped great leaders, great people, things that were alive. Maybe we worship things like that because we think we can understand them a bit better. But God says, I am God. You only need to worship me because I am God and I'm the only God and I'm in a category all of my own. You see, my problem is that I get distracted and I get very scared and I sometimes look up to things that are just like everything else, but a bit different maybe. And I need to look up to and get distracted by and really fear God, because he's the one and only God. He is the God. He is simply God in a category all of its own. You know, and sometimes I just want other things. Sometimes I fear people who are big bullies and are strong and powerful. And sometimes I fear my own body because I'm getting old and sometimes ill and I don't feel like I'm in control. And sometimes I'm awestruck because I see someone who's really famous. Famous for bad things, but David has a good story that they had to do this exercise where they went out into the town, Oxford, and they had to do some kind of forfeit type things. And one of them was you had to walk a dog of a stranger, wasn't it? You had to find a stranger and walk their dog. Now, so David went out and walked the dog of a stranger. Guess whose dog he walked? Oxford? Who's famous? Pardon? Matthias Lewis. No. I'm sure his dog is dead. Dawkins. He walked Richard Dawkins' dog. How interesting. And he also had to pick up what Richard Dawkins' dog left behind. Yes. Isn't that fascinating? Well, he's kind of infamous, famous for being bad, really, Richard Dawkins, but we're sometimes in awe of really famous people. We think, wow, they're just amazing. I really wish I could be like them. But they're just in a family of ordinary people who sometimes do good things, but mostly do bad things. And God says, I need you to really trust in me as God. So, God is God. God is completely different from us. And there's nobody and nothing like him. I am God. There is no other. There's no one else in my category. And then the last thing is just to think about the fact that... I keep flicking that by mistake. To think about the fact that God is independent. That was one of the words we had hanging up. I don't think I can find it easily now. But somewhere there. Thank you. Thank you. So blind I couldn't see it. There we go. God is independent, meaning He doesn't depend or need anybody or anything. Because he's unique, and because there's no one like him as God, he doesn't depend on us. But you know what? We really depend on him. It's a bit of a science-y morning this morning, but I've just got one other question for you. What does something like that tree need to grow? Water was one good answer. Right up the back, Emily. Needs a bit of sun or a bit of light getting through there somehow, yes. Does it need anything else? Yes? Yeah, I think it needs a bit of something from the soil as well, just to make it build itself big and strong. Okay, so that's to do with the plant. What about you? What do you need in an average week to live? I think there's a hand right back there, Isabel, Annabelle. Somebody's hands up. Water? Yes, you do need water. Yes. And cups of tea and squash and stuff like that. What else do we need? Yes? We need some food. Anyone not have breakfast this morning? It's not good. We need some food. Yes?
God's creation.
We?
All of these foods and drinks is God's creation.
Perfect answer. Have you heard that? All of these foods and drinks are God's creation. So we need those things which God made. Yes, did you want to say something, Netta? No. Do you want to say something, Rebecca? What a... Sleep. Yes, that's a really good one. I didn't think of that one. Good one. Sleep. Yes. We do need air as well. That's a very good one. Well, we probably need some other things too. Probably need a few minerals. And we need at least an hour of television. To get through the week or on the internet or something. But there are things that we absolutely do need just to survive, like food and drink and air. But we need lots of other things to just be happy, like we need friends, people who love us. And so we don't get sick, we need shelter, like this building that keeps the rain out and the cold out. And we probably need doctors and other people who are going to look after us. And when we're little children, we need parents to take care of us. Yes, what do you want to say?
Spirits protecting us.
We need, I'm not sure what you mean by that, but we certainly need God to protect us. We absolutely need that. So, you see, we depend actually on God. Because Jaden already said it, that all those things that we talked about, the plants need, and that we need, they come from God. So God is independent. He doesn't depend on us for anything. But you know what? We need to remember that we depend on God for absolutely everything. There is nothing you can think about that you rely on to live and to be happy. There is nothing that doesn't come from God. It all comes from God. So he's independent and we're not. We depend on him. We rely on him for everything. I love this speech that Paul made in a city called Athens. And part of it says this: the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. We worship other gods. Sometimes we just worship ourselves. Sometimes we worship other things, famous people, frightening people, or we worship things that we can get and own. Paul says you need to worship the God who is independent and actually who gives you absolutely everything. He's not in one place, he's everywhere, and he organized all of your life. He doesn't depend on you. He doesn't need you, but you depend on him. Sometimes we think showing up to church means that we're doing God a favor. Sometimes we think reading the Bible means we're doing God a favor. Sometimes we think praying means we're doing God a favor because he needs us, because he's a bit lonely or bored or something. God doesn't need you. God's not relying on you for anything. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, perfectly happy without you. So he doesn't depend on you. You're not doing God a favour, but you, every one of you, depends on him. And you know, the wonderful thing about God is that he says, I want to be friends. In November time, I think November or October, Caroline got the dreaded sicky bug that many of you have got or will get soon, maybe today. And while she had that, I think it was very wise to keep a distance. So what I would do is that she was confined to the bedroom, which thankfully has a little adjoining toilet, so she can stay there. So when I came home, I'd been away for a couple of days, so I came home, and what I would do, which I think is very sensible, is you make a meal or some small thing, and you take it, you get her to stay in the bed, and you go to the doorway, you open the door, you put the food on the floor while she stays in the bed, and then you close the door behind you, and then you allow her to come and collect the food. That is called dependence without relationship. That is not what God's like. Now, whether you think that was good or bad, what I did, that is no way what God is like. God's not a God who just gives us the food from a distance and we just go and collect it and we just depend on him. The wonderful thing about God is that he invites us to worship him. You know what Paul says in that speech? He says, not only did God make everything and provide it all for you, he actually sorted out where you were going to live and made it so you'd think, I wonder where God is. And he'd let us find him and turn to him. God invites us to relationship, but you know what we have to do? To get in relationship with God, we have to say, I'm sorry, because I tried to be God. I'm over here. I'm sinful. I'm limited. I'm not God. But I wanted to be God, and I'm so sorry for that. But also to say, thank you for Jesus Christ, who was a man like us, but was also God, and he was perfect, and he gave his life for me, and he rose again, and he's back in heaven. And he's the judge, and he will decide what happens to me. And he says, I want you to be part of my family. It's a special family, but I want you to be part of it. You need to say sorry, and you need to say, I really want to trust Jesus to be friends with this amazing God. That's what Paul goes on to say in his speech. He says, now he commands all people everywhere to repent. He set a day when he will judge the world by injustice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to everyone by raising him, that's Jesus, from the dead. And so our memory verse for the year also says, turn to me and be saved. I'm God, I'm unique, I'm the only one. I don't depend on you, you depend on me. But I invite you to relationship. I call upon you to turn to me, to turn away from worshipping yourself or other things and to be saved. And I invite you to do that because of Jesus. He's the man. He's the judge. He's risen from the dead. God's proved it. Trust me and you'll be in my family. That's a great thing about God.